May 6, 2015, Wednesday night class on the Holy Spirit and the New Testament. We finished up last week when we ended. We talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about His work in the New Testament church and some of the activities that He oversaw or took place in with. Tonight, I put a handout in the back if you don't have one for the Wednesday night class on the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've mentioned all along about this gift, the gifts, and these different things, and it's important that we understand what the gift of the Holy Spirit really is. Most of your studies that you find bring out different views, because there's several different views in the world on what the gift of the Holy Spirit is. And I asked you to look at Acts 2:38 in that scripture there, where it alludes to the fact that everyone receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is where a lot of confusion takes place when you're not solid in your foundations on who the Holy Spirit is, what He did, when He did it, and how you harmonize these things. This gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 is clear in the fact that it makes the point that everyone receives it. Some of these other views, and I'm sure a lot of you out there are a lot more up to speed on it than I am, I have not devoted myself to a lot of study on other views on different items, especially the Holy Spirit, because I've devoted myself wholly to what God's Word says, and that's what I bring to you in class, is what I see in God's Word. So I encourage you to go behind, to use this time that we're together to look at these things, because you're going to see diversity when it comes to this gift of the Holy Spirit. There's a large following that holds a view that the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, an indwelling that comes upon you when you're baptized from the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot of things, if you're going to take that point of view, that you've got to get past that God's Word tells us. Number one, you've got to understand that you have to harmonize it with the rest that we've already studied, and you have to satisfy in your mind, if everybody received it, why did Peter and John, when those in Samaria that had been baptized and saved, and they didn't have these gifts, why did they have to go lay their hands on? So if you take the view that the gift that's received in Acts 2:38 is the gifts or the miraculous works that these people had, or if it's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit Himself, there's a whole lot of scripture that you've got to get past in order to harmonize that. The Holy Spirit, you have to believe that He still works through men, if that's the case. A lot of the confusion that comes along, if you buy into this view that the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells you and causes you to act much like these apostles were here in this time, you're stretching far beyond God's Scripture. And that's why tonight, instead of looking at these other beliefs that you'll hear about or you see about, let's look at God's Word. Let's look at what it says. And I think you'll see a different conclusion based on those two that I've just kind of touched on. If we have time at the end of our quarter, we could come back and readdress some of these other views of this gift of the Holy Spirit that's talked about in Acts 2:38. Be glad to do that. I'll have to depend on the help of some outside stuff in order to understand it, because like I said, I've never took the time to devote to what I saw as something that was wrong. I've always devoted my time to what was right, because I have enough to learn that's correct without wasting my memory on things that are wrong. But you're going to see, as we mentioned early on in the class, the gift of the Holy Spirit, a lot of different views. You may change some of your views by the time we're through with this class. I know when I first started studying, there's things that came to my mind that I hadn't thought of before that helped me even more so in my understanding and my study of it. What we're going to look at tonight is this gift of the Holy Spirit that's mentioned in Acts 2:38 is this gift of eternal life. It's this gift of salvation. That would harmonize with why Acts 2:38 said in the very beginning when the church was being started and these souls were being saved that everybody was receiving it. And everybody did. This Holy Spirit that's mentioned there is the guarantee of all that God had promised and played out up until then. And it's now the receiving of it by the men. It's all related back to the promise of the fathers. Acts 13:32 mentions it too, as well as Acts 2:38. Will somebody get Galatians 3:29? Acts 2:38 mentions there that it's received. Everyone will receive it. Acts 13:32 says, "And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, this promise of salvation, this gift that everyone would receive through Jesus Christ, this salvation was a guarantee. It was a promise to everybody that everybody would receive it." Who's got Galatians 3:29? Read it. A promise. All along, our studies are going to support this. We see this promise. We see this plan of salvation that's playing out. We see Christ coming into the world. We see the Holy Spirit's work. Now, we've not even touched on the Holy Spirit and His works in the Old Testament. We're only looking at what's in the New Testament. And we see how God had this plan and how the Holy Spirit was playing this out and how Christ came to the world and how this plan of salvation came together and this gift was there for all to receive. And that's what the promise in these scriptures allude to. If you understand that, you have no problems in understanding that Acts 2:38 is exactly what it says it is. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at some other scriptures that we put in our handouts there to better understand, because as simply as things are worded, sometimes people understand them differently. So let's make this clear. It mentions in Acts 2:38 that it's received to a person immediately upon baptism. But we're going to look at some scriptures now that's going to show us the problem with applying that any other way than salvation. Look at John 4:10. Somebody read it, John 4:10.
Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who said to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
Let's look at, as we do with all of our studies, because if we don't, we will go off track onto something totally wrong. Look at the context, look at who's speaking, and who's being spoke to. Here, this is context of Jesus Christ. And He says, if you knew the gift of God, look at that, apply that in your mind using common sense. Would you assume that the gift of God here was God? That you were going to receive God, we probably wouldn't do that, would we? Christ goes on to explain that the gift that came from God was not God. In essence, if you read this, he makes the implication that he himself is a gift that comes from God. It's him. So Jesus answered, said to him, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was, give me it. And who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Easy to see that the gift of God here is not God himself, but something that God has given. The gift of God. God has given it. Not God himself. Let's go to Ephesians 4:7. Ephesians Somebody want to read Ephesians 4:7?
Each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift.
We see here again, it's the gift of Christ. It's grace that's given. It's not Christ. It's a gift from Christ. It's not actually receiving Christ, the Son of God. That's what we have to look at when we read Acts 2:38, because there's so much in the gift of the Holy Spirit that's not going to match with the gifts. It doesn't harmonize with the fact that Peter and John had to go back later on the gifts and lay hands on. You see, none of that fits. So Acts 2:38, you have to see that as a gift of the person giving, not the person. John 4:10, Ephesians 4:7, and Acts 2:38 all say it. You could easily substitute the word from with the word to, or of, I mean, and get the same meaning. The gift of God in 4:10, John 4:10, is a gift from God. The gift of Christ, Ephesians 4:7, is a gift from Christ. And the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's not the person himself. That's the point that we're trying to make here. I did some looking into some of the commentaries and stuff like that, and when you can easily get bogged down in those. I found out that reading about a lot of people's theories on grammar and the change of grammar and stuff like that, and as we mentioned before, the way to check, the way to test the Spirit, the way to weigh it out for accuracy and harmonization is simply apply it to God's Word. Look at everything you've got and harmonize it. That's the great thing about God's Word. That's why translations don't trip us up. Because wording can trip us up, but if we allow God's Word as a whole to check itself and to keep itself in parameters and harmonize itself, you won't see contradictions and mistakes, and it's perfectly good for that.
Well, probably that promise in verse 39 will go along with that gift. There's a promise to the gift. I don't know if we're going to cover that. I'll mention that not only those on Pentecost, but their children, who all who would ever be born, became Christians.
Everybody.
When you look at even there, it starts to reach forward. But when you look at Hebrews 11 and verse 39, that promise, that gift, reach back to the beginning of time. He talks about all these have attained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise.
Right.
Again, what they looked for to live by faith was that promise, was to be that which really old law could not do, was remit sins.
Right.
Promise that the gift of the Holy Spirit would bring that the remission of sins could be accomplished.
Right. So it's easy if you dig in and you study very long to see that, and it's real quick to see a problem in believing that the Holy Spirit Himself indwells you, or that you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are two other views that come from this verse. When you see it said there that everybody will receive this, and yet later on Peter and John have to go impart, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you know it's not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because those had to be imparted by the laying on of the hands of the apostles, which were studied before. So all these theories have things that can't be explained unless you leave Acts 2:38 as a gift being from the Holy Spirit. And then it makes perfect sense, because when we finish up tonight, I hope we get time to go through some of the chart that's in the back of the handout. You have a three-column chart, and in the middle it has the promise that's there, and on the left you have the Holy Spirit will say that would happen, and on the right you see to it that we receive it from the Holy Spirit through the Word. So that's where we're going to end up. Acts 2:38, Peter said to him, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 3:19, Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. These are two verses that are very similar. Did you notice that? Both of these verses, 238, 319, they both speak of repentance. Both of them talk of having sins forgiven or wiped away. And the idea of return in 319 would include and be incorporating of this baptism that spoke about in Acts 2:38. Very, very similar verses. And the reason that I bring that up is that the gift of the Holy Spirit in 2:38 and the same thing that's spoken about as the times of refreshing in 3:19 are the same thing. They're both speaking of the same terms. And if you put those two together, you would draw the conclusion that the times of refreshing is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, you're going to see a lot of different views on the Holy Spirit from the world. This is something you really have to dig into and answer your questions of yourself. If you took the gift of the Holy Spirit, the times of refreshing were one and the same. If you had this view, this study that I looked at online, that according to this view, that one and the same thing would be the promises of God, which would be the salvation we mentioned, that gift of the Holy Spirit, eternal life, these promises of God, the Holy Spirit was the guarantor of. It makes perfect sense and everything harmonizes in that case. It's also supported, and if you look at 2 Corinthians 1, 20-22, now these verses, these next two verses that we read are both going to be passages that the other views of the Holy Spirit use just as well as we do. But this, what we're studying tonight, you'll find also, even with the verses that they use to support their theories, fits perfectly with the gift of the Holy Spirit being eternal life, salvation. 2 Corinthians 1, 20-22 says, "For as many as are the promises of God, in Him they are yes, therefore also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our heart as a pledge." It mentions there, "who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." Ephesians 1:13-14. "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory." These are two verses that show us that this Holy Spirit, this gift, is the grantor, it's the pledge, it's the proof, it's the eternal life and its salvation, is this gift that's coming, and He's the grantor of that. Y'all may have come up with some other verses on your studies, I don't know. Did anybody have anything else? The text that we just looked at there in 2 Corinthians and in Ephesians, They clearly are clear in regards to our being sealed with the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot of other interpretations that use these very verses to try to support their other views of the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38. But there's so much more when you properly apply it and you harmonize it. Others would claim that the Spirit dwells in us by miraculous indwelling. We understand that the Spirit dwells within us, and we receive that through His Word. He divinely imparted the Word to us, and this Word, we build our faith on that. It's what saves us. He guides us through His Word. It's His Word that indwells within us creates the changed man from the old man to the new, gives us guidance in the Word and everything that we need. And some of the scripture that I think will help that straighten us out in our mind is if we look at that chart that was at the end of our handouts. And this chart is about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us through the Word. Not as Himself, not as a being that overtakes us, not as the gifts of these miraculous acts that they were able to do, but Him dwelling in us through His Word. We look at the term born again. If you look at John 3, verse 5, I'm going to ask some of you to read some of these so that we can cover them a little quicker. Somebody get 1 Peter 1, verse 23. John 3, 5 says, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom." We see here that you have to be born again. Now this is born of the Spirit. Now this is a verse that some would say it has to be the Holy Spirit Himself. But when you look at 1 Peter 1:23 and harmonize that, you'll come to a different conclusion, I think. Somebody read 1 Peter 1:23. So John 3, 5 tells us we're born again of the Spirit. 1 Peter clarifies that we're born again by the Word. This Word is the Holy Spirit's Word. Begets was the next phrase that's looked at. In order to give life would be a better term. Begets is a word we don't use a lot of anymore. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Somebody read that.
"Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life."
What does the Spirit do? Gives life. We see in James 1, verse 18 says, "Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creations." So our born again, or our brought forth, our begetting, in 2 Corinthians 3:6 is by the Spirit. James 1:18 adds, it's brought forth by the word of truth. What about our instructions? Somebody get Nehemiah 9:30.
"Yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them they were spirited in the prophets, yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hands of the people of the land."
The Spirit, through the prophets, instructed, we see here in the Old Testament. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We ought to hold this by heart because we use this all the time, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we see the instruction here comes from the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And Nehemiah mentions the Spirit, but in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Spirit is in the form of the Word. It's in the form of the Scripture. All Scripture is given. Convicts was the next one, John 16:8.
"And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment."
Speaking there of the Spirit that was to come, He will convict the world. Titus 1:9 clarifies that. Titus 1:9 says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine," or by the word, "both to exhort and convict those who contradict." So we see here in John 6:18 the mention of the Spirit who will convict the wrong. In Titus 1:9, it clarifies that it will be the Word that convicts of wrong. These are all terms and scriptures put together to show the Spirit indwells in us through His Word and works through His Word. Titus 3:5, I'll get it. Somebody want to get James 1:21? On over to Titus 3:5, says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." We see salvation here through the Holy Spirit. What does James 1:21 tell us?
"Therefore layest thou off buildings of wickedness, and receive with meekness the unplanted work which is able to save your souls."
The Word that saves our souls. This word, we've looked at this word, we're born again by it. It begat us, instructs us, convicts us, saves us. It sanctifies us, 1 Corinthians 6:11. "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So we see here that we're sanctified by the Spirit of our God. But what does John 17:17 also tell us?
"Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth."
Our word, the word, is what sanctifies us. Ephesians 5:26, 1 Corinthians 6:11 also mentioned that the Spirit of God washes us. It says, "But such as some were you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified." Ephesians 5:26. Do you see the same thing? The same thing that the Holy Spirit is being said to do is being done through the Word, just the same. All of these are the same. Galatians 5:16 through 18. Somebody get Psalms 119. Galatians 5:16 through 18 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are under the law." We see here that we walk by the Spirit, we're led by the Spirit. What does Psalms 119, 9 through 10 say?
"And a young man sings his way, taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments."
Walk according to the word. The word is what does that. Somebody get hang on to 119 there, and I'll get Romans 8. Romans 8:14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." It shows that we're led by the Spirit of God. In Psalms 119:105.
"Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path."
The word is a lamp to my feet. We've looked at born again, begets, instructs, convicts, saves, sanctifies, cleanses, washes, walks, leads. Still on our list, if we had time, would be comforts, makes alive, edifies, draws, dwells. All these are listed on here. And I wanted to put these on here so that we would all understand that when people ask you, "Well, you don't believe that the Holy Spirit indwells you as a person." Well, no, we don't. But He did that in times past, with, in the beginning with the apostles, but we have this now through the Word. If they think, "Well, so everything's only by the Word." Well, we see here that everything that the Spirit was told would bring, the Word brings. So that's the situation that we find ourselves in today. If we have time, like I said, we'll come back to these other views It takes a stretch of imagination and some questions that you can't answer if you buy into these other views about the Holy Spirit being actually the physical being of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. It don't harmonize. But it does if you allow the gift of the Holy Spirit to be the promise of eternal life and salvation. I'm sure other people have thought about this and studied about it a lot, probably have a lot better explanation than I do. But when you get in there and you get to convincing yourselves and you bounce these scriptures around, you soon put a puzzle together that will only fit one way. And that's if the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 is salvation. And it would be something that all men from now on would receive. Whereas the gifts, as we talked about earlier in our study, were things that were there for a purpose, for a short time, and they were gone. So, if there's nothing else to add, then next week I'll get the next handout out Sunday morning, Lord willing, and nothing happens. We'll look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, these actual acts that we're given. And we can touch on some things while we're doing that too that will prove to you that Acts 2:38 is the gift of the Holy Spirit.